From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Mbele. We continue a conversation on governance, race and accountability in South Africa, engaging on issues of national importance that shape our country. And we'll be having a very interesting conversation with the one and only Ayanda Seboni. We'll get to that point, but be that as it may, I wonder where time is, because we're now already in our second quarter. It's amazing how time flies. Talking of time, the country is really grappling with corruption, organized crime, networks, and weakening accountability across both private and public sector spaces. And I would very strongly argue South Africa has become accustomed to a number of expressions that in some countries like Brazil and India, those expressions have been in place for a while. For an example, talking of construction mafia, we talk about water mafia, we talk about taxi mafia, and these are the discourse that have are taking place in or as part of the national discourse. And I don't think this issue needs to be left unchallenged. We need to, because they've got serious implications for the economy. We've picked up, as you might know, and through the Zondo Commission, as well as the Madlanga Commission, a plethora of malfeasance exposed both in the public sector, because instigated in some instances by private players, because we often miss the point that we are focusing on corruption and malfeasance in the public sector, bearing in mind that, or forgetting, conveniently so in some instances, that private sector players are at the helm in some instances. These, in my view, conversations are they need to be held, and we need to go through them, and we need to understand them. Fundamentally, these governing challenges, in my view, have serious consequences that extend beyond the public sector. You know, we're talking, part of framing of our conversation tonight, we'll talk about, the role of insurance from the PPS perspective. Ayanda will give us a sense of how do they navigate this particular space, which is quite keen to hear. We all know that insurance depends on trust, predictability, and functioning of institutions, where criminal networks disrupt infrastructure projects, as I've alluded to earlier, supply chain and service delivery, risk increases and losses escalate. And if losses escalate, the cost of doing business rises. So it is important that we reflect very deeply on this issue so that we are able to be more informed on how governance lapses impact on overall bottom line. We need to see how what is the lay of land, particularly from the from a professional perspective, because professionals from time to time are being hampered, obviously so, in doing their work purely because of this issue. So we'll get to know or hear a little bit more from my guest here. So and I think what is more important in framing our conversation with Ayanda, that I would introduce very shortly, is that in this particular context, the discussion turns into three connected issues, in my view: the financial strength of mutual values, creation through PPS, which we'll get to hear more about it, and how the rising claims trends that are reflected in risk pressures facing the professionals on a broader governance environment, and in which ethical professionals are increasingly exposed and more vulnerable. Before we get into the gist of our conversation, allow me to thank Simpiwe Zama for coordinating with the beautiful Ayanda Seboni here. Thank you so much, Simpiwe. And of course, I'll be amiss not to thank Craig on the controller. Craig, as we interface with the market, Craig is the person that gave me the marching orders. And last but not least, I want to thank you, the beloved listener, for you really make the show. Without your input, your guidance, and your discipline, the show will not be where it is or where it ought to be. On that note, I encourage you to give us your thoughts, your views, As a norm, our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are welcome via my Accenture, which is _ Dr. Mbele. On that note, let me take this opportunity once again to say, Ayanda Siboni, thank you so much, for gracing Beyond Governance with presence.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mbele.
Thank you so much. And, before we get into the gist of these issues, there's a quote by Warren Buffett who once said, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to destroy it. That is not only a reflection on individuals, in my view, it's a reflection on the system. And tonight we explore what happens when governance system comes to under strain and what does it mean for professionals, what does it mean for risk and long-term value creation. Before you give us your reflection on this issue, who is Ayanda Siboni? For person who... who is Ayanda Siboni?
So thanks, Dr. Mbele. I will say, if you ask me today, I'm a Highlands North girl. but I grew up in Durban, came to Johannesburg to study. I'm also a mom, wife, and the occasional chai listener. But professionally, I am the group executive for the Professional Providence Society for Mutuality. So that means, in the business, we operate under the ethos of mutuality, and I look after that particular portfolio, marketing, communication, as well as our foundation, amongst other areas.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you for that interesting, overview of who, Ayanda Siboni is. Perhaps maybe get into the gist of our conversation. PPS delivered a second consecutive year of record value, allocating just over 6 billion rands in profit shares to its members. What does it say about the strength and sustainability of a mutual model from where you're sitting?
6.88 billion, almost 7 billion.
Well, excuse me.
Yes, up from 5.33. Look, I think it's definitely a vote of confidence from our members that trust PPS to look after their financial well-being. PPS has been around since 1941, started by 8 dentists who came together and decided to build a business based on the ethos of mutuality. And what mutuality basically means is the business does not have shareholders. Unlike any other business where you've got the shareholders and you've got clients, our clients are the ones who are ultimate beneficiaries of the business. So when you join PPS, you take our products, you get amazing cover, as many of your listeners would know, because I know many of them are actually PPS members. And whatever claims we pay, the cost of running the business, whatever remains after is what we share with our members. So in the last year, it was 6.88 billion. But cumulatively, over the last 10 years, that number is 35.2, almost 35.3 billion that has been paid out to members. And it just shows you the strength of the mutual model. And it's all about professionals coming together, sharing the risk and sharing the rewards.
Well, the numbers are quite impressive indeed. I mean, 34.2 billion rands over the past 10 years. So it does suggest that the model, it's not only credible, but it's also sustainable. But, okay, talking of sustainability, one would obviously have to ask, in the context of the very precarious political environment in the country, how has this affecting or is likely to affect the sustainability of the model, based on what you've seen, because it does suggest that the cost of running business are likely to escalate. And given the high unemployment rate, we're sitting at about, what, last time I checked, we're sitting about just less than 10 million South Africans who are gainfully employed, which means your share of professionals that assume that particular place is likely to shrink. So give us your overview on that particular trajectory and how you're managing or navigating that to not only, to actually increase the share, of the market.
So look, as a mutual, we grow when our membership grows. And there are two ways of looking at the South African market. You can look at it as perhaps it's going to shrink, or you can look at the university throughput and see how many young people are coming through university in the various professions. And if you look at that picture, the future is actually quite bright. I like to say that we look after the people that look after South Africa. That 10 million of taxpayers, the majority of the biggest contributors are professionals who run small practices, who are doctors, who are lawyers, accountants, you know, all sorts of disciplines. Some of them are employed in corporate, but they are the people that make this country work. So it's important that they are looked after. It's important that their finances are looked after. And it's important that the jobs that they do, they are free to be able to do that without fear or favor. And going back to the mutual model, when you see the evidence and the proof, for example, last year, $2 billion was paid out to members that were retiring. That's just benefits when they're taking their profit share. And that number on average is hundreds of thousands per member that gets that. So when people see the value, it's a no-brainer. We like to say at PPS is a no-brainer for brainy people. So I think that the future is bright, and young people see the value. You know, when we go to universities and speak to young people, they see the value in the mutual model because it's one of those that really is about sharing value between the business and the business's clients. And if you look at also the growth that we've experienced, we've got an insurance business. We've also got an investments business. Last year, our assets under management grew by 16.2% to 112 billion rand. And in terms of the life insurance, our life insurance revenues grew to 8.9 billion. So, and we've got like health professions, indemnity, short term, all of them have been on a growth trajectory. So I think the future is bright, but it needs to be protected.
Absolutely. Talk of protection, we're going to have to pay our bills. Let's come back on this very interesting point that Ayanda just shared with us.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dembele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Dembele. If you have just joined us, I'm in conversation with Ayanda Sibone, who is a group executive at PPS. The thrust of our conversation tonight really centers around what happens when government breaks down and how risk for professional is reshaped and how institutions such as PPS respond through protection and long-term value creation for beneficiaries. Before we took that break, Ayanda gave us a very interesting line of thoughts based on how the PPS has been unfolding over a period of time. And you know, one of the things that perhaps maybe Ayanda needs to go back and give us a sense of is the sustainability model of PPS. I mean, before we took that break, you gave us very good figures around how other units of PPS has been making good progress, from a revenue point of view. Take us through that, because I think that's a very important point which the listener needs to, reflect on.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I mean, our investments business grew significantly to 112 billion, up 16.2% from the year before. Our life business also the same, around 6.8 billion, up 6.9% year on year. So did our health professions indemnity business, as well as short term. So we've got various businesses. We're actually quite a diversified financial services provider. And we look after professionals, we say, from the time they graduate until, you know, the end of their lives and even beyond, you know, with the solutions that we have with our various solutions that we have. And the model is sustainable because it is supported by professionals. It is for professionals by professionals, and making sure that there is no conflict between the interests of the business and the interests of the member, because the member gets the value. Whether they're getting it back as profit share or getting it back as a claim, you know, the value is going back to them. Our ultimate goal as a business is actually not to make profits, but to make sure that we give comprehensive protection to our members. If you are a doctor and you are practicing medicine, you need to know that the health professions indemnity is there to cover you when you need it. You know, you shouldn't worry about that. And if at the end of all of this, there is profit, then that profit is shared with you. And when you get to retirement age, it really does form a nice little booster to your retirement savings.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sure you as a listener listened to this very interesting conversation. You do have some thoughts or some inputs to make. Ayanda is more than happy to respond to any question that you may have. She wouldn't be here if she wasn't capable. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. You know, throw in those questions of clarity around, you know, the model, PPS model, and if I suppose anything that you may throw to Ayanda's way, she's more than happy, if not capable, to respond to that. Ayanda, you know, one thing that I've also picked up, you know, from one of your material is that, you know, PPS have paid 4.4 billion rands in a live risk claim in 2025, with a significant increase linked to conditions such as cancer, musculoskeletal illnesses. Over and above that, what is the trend looking like, you know, based on critical issues that you consider, you know, from an investment point of view, but also from protection point of view?
Look, so from a health side of things, cancer has been on the up. And, you know, if you check a lot of the research, there's a correlation between diseases like cancer and things like stress and all of that. So we are seeing a trend in things like cancer claims. We had about just under 700 million paid towards cancer claim, musculoskeletal and connective tissue conditions as well on the app. So in general, claims have been increasing, and obviously there's the claims for sickness where people are still alive, but we've also got death claims that you know have been on the up. On the short term insurance side, you know, environment has an impact. You know, when there are floods, when there are droughts, the claims do go up, but also just the normal dings and the cost of repairs, for example, for cars, has become quite an expensive thing. So from a claims perspective, there's a lot of things that happen, but obviously as a business that looks after people, we're there to take care of that. And when it comes to investments, last year was kind from a markets perspective. You'll always be subject to the markets and a bit of volatility there, but we obviously operate in the South African economy and we all understand what volatility is. So from a business perspective, you know, the ebbs and flows are mm-hmm. definitely there. But but there are also things, other trends that start to create a bit of a worry, you know. And one of them, we were just analyzing, playing with a bit of data, and then we realized that not a lot, but some of our members passed away from murder. And that started us on a conversation to say, murder, who are they and what's happened? And if you take that that data and you take some of the media reports, you start seeing that professionals are starting to be under serious threat from in doing their jobs. So whether it's an attorney who's a liquidator, who is, you know, suddenly attacked, or an accountant who's doing their job, this is becoming something that we see quite frequently in the media. And it's very concerning when people who are professionals, firstly, they protect the country, they're doing their jobs, it's not personal, it's the job that they need to do, suddenly find themselves facing the barrel of a gun, doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if you reference the Madlanga Commission, even within the Madlanga Commission, there are references to professionals who picked up wrongdoing. And when they picked up the wrongdoing, they found themselves, you know, in a very, very precarious position. Some of them lost their lives. So this is starting to be a trend in this country that is exceptionally concerning. And it's not right. And it must be called out, and it must be called for what it is.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean... Perhaps maybe before we get into the worrying trend around murders of professionals, which is something that everybody should cringe just by listening to it, because, you know, we're losing so much value, you know, from those individuals who are working so hard. But let's perhaps maybe just a step back. You raised a very important point about, you know, the claims around illnesses, particularly from cancer, and the question perhaps maybe is. You know, what does it mean for members or for families? You know, because these are life-changing events. Because part of your value proposition is not just an individual, but the individual as a father, as a husband, I live within a family unit. What does it mean for my family in an event that one you know contends with this kind of illnesses? Could you just shed some light on that?
Yeah. So illness in itself is stressful. Mm-hmm. To be told that you've been diagnosed with a critical illness or you're going to be physically impaired, not able to do what you need to do is very stressful. And your energy levels, obviously, when you're going through the treatment are not as high. If on top of that, you need to deal with the financial stress that's associated with paying medical bills, it really does compromise your ability to recover if you're going to have stress about illness and stress about money. So the protection is absolutely essential, because then you can worry about getting better, focus on getting better rather than focus about on how to finance the treatment, and can you afford the treatment, and what level of treatment can you afford. So I think having adequate cover does take away a lot of the stress that's associated with illness and the consequences of illness.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I think that's the most important part, because, you know, as you've currently pointed out that, you know, any illness is very stressful, and you just need to worry about one issue. You don't have to worry. You can obviously contend with or worry about the illness itself, but not how to finance it. Mm-hmm. So this is where the cover comes from. You know, perhaps maybe the second point that I wanted to raise, which really got me worried, because, you know, the professionals who are investigating, especially what I've noticed in supply chain, especially in government, who have been, you know, susceptible to violence based on what they've been able to unearth. And the trend that you made reference to, it's quite worrying, because it says to those individuals who fell victim to those violent crimes, there's not sufficient protection for them. And if there's not sufficient protection for them, it means they will not, they're unlikely, you know, to come out and speak about the rot they are, you know, fearing for all of their lives. I know there's a whistleblower bill. I'm not sure how far it has gone in trying to remedy that particular gap. But obviously, you know, that's another topic for another day. But what it means for from a governance perspective, that people are unlikely to do or execute their fiduciary responsibilities. And if they do not do that, the cost of doing business are even going to be more, because you'll be, you know, petrified to say Ayanda, you know, is involved in some shenanigans. What does that mean? And do we have a very good comprehension as businesses and as a society that we need to protect those practitioners, those professionals? Because if you don't do that, our lives are even going to be more expensive.
Yes, you know, the price that the professionals pay is big. I mean, the cases that get reported in the media are a small fraction of what really happens, and many times it's characterized as public sector versus private sector. I don't think it's a public versus private sector. I think it's a societal issue that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a society that has started to accept that it can be dangerous for you to do your job as an accountant. You know, there was nothing more benign and, you know, unexciting in terms of, like, you know, danger than an accountant. And then suddenly it's become a lot more risky than what it was. And it has massive costs of doing business, because when you have to do something and you've got a checker and you've got a checker on a checker, all of those levels add to costs. When in having to deal with a claim, you have to verify and re-verify, you know, it has massive costs. When you are doing a simple example, if you're building a road and now there's a construction mafia that's involved, you now, before you would have had the construction workers, you would have had the professionals that are there that are supervising. There's an additional cost now that has to be factored in of security. You know, the security of the people that are working there, the security securing the equipment that is on site. You know, all of those costs add up. And eventually, where do they add up to? They add up to the cost of delivery. Everything that is being done has got an extra security layer, an extra layer of cost that is being brought in simply because there is no protection for people doing the things that they're supposed to do, the jobs that they're supposed to do. So it definitely adds a cost. And we all know that the government doesn't generate money. The only money that is generated by the government is the taxes that we pay. So ultimately, the more these costs increase, the higher the costs and the tax burden is going to be on the few that are able to pay that tax. And what happens eventually is people opt out of the system and they go to other countries and they practice there. So we have to make sure that this is nipped in the bud. This does not become normalized. We cannot allow this country to allow professionals to be at risk.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, these are very important points that you are raising, because the cost of being doing business has to be just on the core. If you're building a road, you don't have to hire additional security because everybody is fearful of their lives, and an accountant. So all those issues that you put forward are so important and are issues that, you know, society needs to cringe and really address it in a systemic way. But, you know, I want to be controversial, Ms. Boni, by raising an issue that is a lot bigger, because when you look at the Auditor General reports, as an example, they tend to be talking about, symptoms, not the real causes, you know. We made reference to the water mafia. We made references to construction mafia. We're making reference to all these other bits and pieces. I just want to pivot on that issue because, in my mind, it raises an issue about inclusion and the extent to which, by no means I will never justify malfeasance in any way. You know, but we have the responsibility to diagnose a problem for what it is. And I think we're missing a bigger question or an opportunity as a country to reflect a little bit deeper around the real causes of this issue. We'll still come back to your point as a service provider or as a valued client around insurance and those of you. I just want to hear your thoughts on that issue. Because I'm yet to be convinced that we are not addressing inclusion for what it is. You know, from a black perspective, from a gender perspective, because poverty in this country has a black face. Unemployment, when you look at the stats, you know, are disproportionate. You know, so those are the issues that anybody who wants to take this country forward needs to be asking themselves those deeper questions. Your overview on that issue that we or may not, as a country, addressing it head on.
Anyone who doesn't recognize that inclusion is an important part of solving South Africa's problems misses the point. You know, you cannot have the levels of inequality that we have in this country, and the Gini coefficient, we're like right there. If you look at that graph, we're right at the top. It's important that we look at how do we make sure that growth is inclusive and growth is just. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking at the energy transition, it must be just. You know, when you're looking at employment, there needs to be justice. But if in doing that, we are also it's not binary. It's not either inclusion or a gangster state. We need to have inclusion. We need to have growth that is inclusive. We need young people to be employed, and that takes me and you and listeners that are listening here. When you've got a choice to employ, when you've got a choice to grow young talent, when you've got a choice where you recognize that someone is really smart and maybe they haven't had the opportunities to help them grow, that's something that's within our control. Many times we look to the government to say, what is the government doing? But maybe we should be looking more at what are we doing? What are the daily decisions that we take that that either create inclusion or don't create inclusion? And those individual decisions are what makes a difference. And I think the mutual model actually solves for a lot of that, because mutuality, by its definition, is inclusive. It's about making sure that everyone shares in the success.
You read my mind there, Mrs. Boyne. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dembele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. It's amazing how time flies when you're really having deep, reflective conversation. If you've just joined us, I'm in conversation with Ms. Ayana Sibon, who's an executive at PPS. We are talking about, the role of governance in protecting, the bottom line. The context is that we unfortunately are not in a space as a country where we are, the professionals that are working for government and any other entity for that matter do not enjoy protection they deserve, and as a result the cost of doing business and has grown exponentially, and we need to see what are the best ways to mitigate those risks and what it means for those individuals, their families, and so on and so forth. So I'm been quite illuminated by a point that Ms. Ayanda, raised so far, Mr. Boni raised so far. And one of the issues that I sort of, instigated just before the break was that I think we're missing the point. And her response to that was refreshing in so many ways, because she brought it back to mutuality, which is about inclusion. Because the parallel streams that we're seeing, and that have been perpetuated by way of looking at these mafias across the board, and it does say we are not really asking the right question, or perhaps maybe not even bold enough, to address issues for what they are. But having said that, and I found her response quite illuminating in so many ways, because it is ultimately in our best interest as a country. It is in your best interest. It is mine, in my best interest. To ask difficult questions and also become solution oriented. We can't be pointing fingers because in our own little bits, the construct of mutuality, we can apply it in our own way. And in that way, we can shift the needle of poverty, we can shift the needle of inequality. Whatever indices that you can think and talk about, if you and I work together, in our own individual spaces, corporations, we are more likely to address the plight of the country and actually increase the number of professionals that PPS can now, claw in and use and create lots and lots of monies for these individuals. So, having said that, if you do have any thoughts or question, like I said, Mr. Boni here is more than happy to take those questions. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. Craig, as we proceed, one thing that you raised earlier on, I think now we shift gear towards solutions. We've had, issues out of problems. How, from PPS point of view, what are some of the solutions in that you are lending to the system, to try and manage this challenges of inclusion, the challenge of creating more opportunities, because if the country grows, PPS grows.
Yes.
And if you're managing the all the types of mafias that are there, professionals are protected, and PPS grows. So I know it's obviously the bigger ask, but what are some of the initiatives that you are putting forward to try and strengthen the system where the gaps are, so that we are able to make a contribution?
Yeah, so our big focus is on the youth. When you speak about young people and you speak about unemployment, it is an area that we are very passionate about. Our bursary program, we've got about 54 children that are being funded comprehensively by the PPS Foundation, another 4 by the PPS Investments business. We've partnered actually with the University of Pretoria, and we'll soon be launching, maybe I'm preempting here, but we'll soon be launching something called the Y3E Challenge Domain. So with the University of Pretoria, we're putting together a really strong panel of academics and industry players to try and solve the question of youth unemployment in this country. To say, what are the things, what are the structural things that are happening that are preventing young people from entering the world of work or entering and staying in the world of work? We've got cases of young people who study, have all the qualifications, and they stay in this in a perpetual cycle of internships. You know, they move from one internship to another internship because they can't get work. But when you think about what is perpetuating that, it is again us in our various businesses where, you know, you get your grants from the government for having an intern, but we have responsibilities to train these young people, but also to give them jobs that give them meaning and give them livelihoods. Because then when that grows, the economy grows. Many of us who run businesses rely on economic growth for our businesses to grow. Whether it's a small business or a large business, it does require that. But I do think that some of the things that can make a difference is having transparency is important, shunning criminality, and as a community, viewing ourselves as a community and what can we do as a community. I've lived in Highlands North for a long time. It's 25 years, I think, now this year. And one thing that I will say about the community in Highlands North is they are truly a community. And I have the utmost respect for the Jewish community, for that sense of community. I think many of us and many other communities in South Africa could learn a lot from having this sense of community, the sense of identity, and how it's practiced. So it has a lot of value, and we must never underestimate it.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that you raised that I find so fascinating around youth focus, because there are several initiatives that are there. Government has got its own initiative. Every other company has, you know, and kudos to the likes of PPS, and kudos to all companies that recognize the plight of unemployed youth, and especially unemployed graduates, because it's a real problem. When I looked at the stats, anything above 60% of graduates, I mean, it's just shocking. But one issue that I'm not sure how to, you know, I'm grappling with in my mind, it's about scalability. We know that there are so many, you know, parallel, you know, initiatives. And most of them don't take us far, you know. What could be the challenge? Because partnership, collaboration, everybody speaks about it. And we are more likely to address the unemployment rate when initiatives that have proven to work can be deployed at scale. You know, what would your advice be, having gone through and obviously understanding the complexities of these kind of issues, so that scale is an issue that we can say, well, we have addressed unemployment by X purely because all these companies have sort of joined for, you know. Your take on that?
So as South Africa and South Africans, we love indabas and commissions and these big things that are designed to give us scale. But if you look at many successful countries, economically successful countries, they're not made successful by having big industry that employs everyone, most of the success starts with having smaller enterprises dispersed throughout the country. So the role of small business cannot be underestimated. Understanding that a practice that employs 10 people can really create livelihoods that are sustainable, livelihoods that are profitable and are intergenerational is perhaps where the solution lies. Mm. So I don't quite agree that we need a big coordinated large government strategy around this. I think we need to empower people where they are and to create the right conditions for small businesses to thrive. And where people have got a couple of ideas and they're putting things together, make it easy for businesses to survive and to thrive. You know, we've got the tender system. The tender system has become a great idea because it allowed small players to get into business and get to supply bigger firms. But it has been abused by this level of corruption that is there. So if we kill the corruption, you can create more competition. The more competition there is, the more the small businesses will grow. So I think structurally, we've got a lot of the things probably close to being in place, and the governance needs to be stronger so that the laws that are in place are implemented and the consequences are meted to those people that don't do the right thing so that competition can thrive and businesses can grow.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and when you come back, we'll be wrapping up. I've noted a few questions that one of the listeners, Mariana, has just posed to Ms. Ayanda Saboni here. When you come back, she will be gladly responding to those.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Ms. Ayanda Saboni, who is an executive at PPS. We are looking of, getting a good sense of, what the country is grappling with and how do we protect the professionals, because professionals are so important in building the economy. Before we took that break, she made a very good point in response to my question around, how do we scale up our businesses? And perhaps maybe without really, without really going too much into that, because I'm mindful of the time and there are a few questions that one of the listeners raised, which Ms. Saboni, is keen to respond to. The question comes from Marianne, and she says, let me just quickly go through it properly. She says, PPS systematically dropped their old members with their age-related exclusion and affordable life cover that stopped increasing in the value, but premiums grow year on year. This is a question that has been put to Ms. Saboni by Marianne. Marianne, Ms. Saboni will be more than happy to respond to that question.
Yeah, thanks, Marianne. Marianne would be more than happy to have a direct conversation after the show. But in terms of how insurance, I assume you're speaking about life insurance, how it works is that you've got obviously the risk that the insurer is prepared to take and the underwriting. That's why we always encourage people to take out their risk cover, their life risk cover, when they're younger, where there are fewer exclusions. Insurance does work on understanding the risk that the insurer is prepared to take and then making a determination. So when you are younger, you've got fewer ailments. But as you know, as we age, the ailments get a lot more. And insurance is also about the delta between the something happening and what is known. You cannot insure, from a life risk perspective, what is already known. If it's already diagnosed, it can't be included because it's already something that you have, So that perhaps that is what she might be referring to. But in terms of how we operate on an annual basis, we have something called the annual benefit adjustment, where we increase the benefits and the related premiums to make sure that the cover stays aligned with inflation and those kind of adjustments. So we do actually give additional cover on an annual basis without necessarily going through the underwriting process. So even if you've already got a condition, with that annual benefit adjustment that we will do, we increase the benefits so that people's cover doesn't stay low. It increases as they move on. So many of our members choose to opt for that benefit adjustment, and that really helps with their financial protection.
Absolutely. I hope Marin and Mr. Boni here adequately responded to your question. But if there are any other follow-ups, you're more than welcome to go to the PPS offices and ask for Mrs. Siboni. She's more than happy to take you through whatever processes that are involved. We're going to have to wrap it up here because we ran out of time. Ayana, thank you so much for coming through. We have certainly given us food for thought. Personally, I've thoroughly enjoyed your insights on very complex matters at the both the macro and the meso level. And these are issues that perhaps maybe you and I have to, because I don't think we've done justice in probing all the issues. I will certainly ask my producer, to have a follow-up conversation with you it will be remiss of us not to give you yet another opportunity just to reflect on this issue so that we leave the listener much more empowered. Thank you so much for coming through. It has been absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to Chai FM for having us today. And I really appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. There we go. That was Ms. Ayana Siboni giving us very interesting insights around governance issues as it relates to professionals who are under attack, I might add. We're going to have to do this again in the near future. Once again, thank you so much for listening and making those comments. And we endeavor to respond to every single issue that has been raised. Until we meet again, shalom.